Looking at the seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. We have seen that the commandment, of course, prohibits the violation of the marriage bed. And I believe that means it prohibits all sexual expression, sexual acts outside of marriage. Society, of course, has the philosophy that anything goes as long as it's between consenting adults. But that's not what God says. God says different. We see that, and it is important that we distinguish between adultery and fornication. They're the same act, different parties. Adultery, of course, is a husband or wife seeking happiness or sexual pleasure with someone other than their spouse. And fornication, of course, is sexual relations between unmarried persons. So the command covers premarital and marital. Hebrews 13 and verse 4 says that the marriage bed is not to be defiled, and that whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Whoremongers and adulterers. So God commands sexual purity before marriage. He commands sexual purity during marriage. The lie of safe sex has been propagated for decades, but the truth is, there is no safe sex outside of marriage. None. It's destructive. So that's a lie. Public schools have indoctrinated generations with the idea of safe sex, and it's all a lie. It's all a lie. And that's what we want to consider today. Some things that the Bible says both about adultery and fornication. We see both are the result of a depraved heart. Mark 7. Well, let's turn there. Mark chapter 7, verses 19 through verse 21. So the whole idea of the defilement of the marriage bed proceeds from a depraved heart, because, verse 19, because it entereth not into his heart but into the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, plural, fornications, plural. And then over in Galatians chapter 5, Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. The first four things he mentions, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, are referring to sexual sins. And they proceed from the heart of man. So therein lies the problem. Also, both adultery and fornication are destructive. They're always destructive. Whether you see it right away or not, it brings destruction. Notice in Proverbs chapter 5, we'll read several verses here in Proverbs to get the idea of the destruction. All you have to do today, I mean, if we didn't have the Bible, if we didn't have a knowledge of what Scripture says, all you have to do is open your eyes and look around, and you can see that sex outside of marriage is destructive. I mean, you can be completely ignorant what God's Word says. It's all around us. All the dysfunction, it's just proof. In Proverbs 5, Solomon is given a warning. In verse 3, he says, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." So there's deceit. There's deceit. And I believe in all acts of adultery and fornication, there is deceit. But her end, and we need to remember this, there is an end. There is a consequence. We have generations that just do not seem to be able, they just do not seem to be capable of making the relation between acts and consequences. And I think there's a lot of reasons for that, and that's not our point. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Once again, destructive and hurtful. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. That's a pretty strong statement. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldst ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Again, we have the deceit. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart from the words, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her. It does not say hang around in the vicinity of. Remove thy way far from her, or him, whatever the case might be. Come not nigh the door of her house. Why? Because there's danger. The very next word indicates that. Lest. And then notice what it says. Lest thou give thine honor unto others. Once again, it's destructive. It'll cost. And thy years unto the cruel. This is something you may pay for years. Years of cruelty. One act. And years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth. And again, there are people today, because of the defilement of the marriage bed, whether it be pre-marriage or during marriage, whatever, that are poor today because of their sin. And thy labors be unto the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last. Once again, there's an end. When thy flesh and thy body are consumed. Proverbs chapter 7. Verse 5. We'll read this verse 5 all the way through. That they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. There's that deception again. For at the window of my house I look through my casement. He's going to tell a story. He's going to tell something that he has seen. And beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding. May I say that if you think there is such a thing as safe sex, you are void of understanding. You are ignorant. Verse 8, passing through the street, near her corner. Near her corner. The fact that he was void of understanding, he's doing this on purpose. And he went the way to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. She's not faithful to her house. Now is she without. She's out in the streets. Now in the streets and lieth in wait at every corner. Again, deception, destruction. So she caught him and kissed him with an impudent or brazen face, said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vow. Promises. Empty promises. Therefore came I forth to meet thee diligently, to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt, making everything look good. Desirable. I have perfumed my bed with myrrhs, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love. People today don't even know what love is. And come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us solace ourselves with loves. Let us comfort ourselves. Let us bring delight into our life. Sin will never do that. Whatever sin we're talking about, it will not do that. It will not bring you comfort. It'll bring destruction. For the good man is not at home. He has gone a long journey. Wickedness. Unfaithfulness. He hath taken a bag of money with him and will come home at the day appointed. So she knew when, how long he was going to be gone. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth, and none of this would have happened, by the way, had he not gone to her corner. That's where he first fell. Well, first fell in his heart. He goeth after her straightway, that is, without thought, as an ox goeth to the slaughter. Or has a fool the correction of the stocks? As an ox goeth to the slaughter. And that is a pretty apt picture today of our society. People are following whoredom and are just like oxen going to the slaughter. They don't see it. And we see, or a fool to the correction of the stocks. They're about to enslave their lives with chains. Till a dart strike through his liver. The painfulness of adultery and fornication, as a bird hasteneth to the snare and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thy heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. And if you go down that path, you are always going astray. It doesn't matter how much you try to justify it. It doesn't matter how you think your case is different than everyone else's in the world. When you go down that path, you've gone astray. And at the end of that path is destruction, is ruin, is hurt. For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. How many times people will make statements that they can be amongst the naked and they're strong enough. You're ignorant. You don't know your own flesh. Read the Bible. Go through history. And see how many strong individuals have been brought down by this sin. None of us are above it. And then it closes in verse 27, her house is the way to hell. That's a pretty strong statement. It's true. Her house is the way to hell. going down to the chambers of death. And anyone who follows this path, that's exactly what they're doing. They're going down the chambers of death. So, both adultery and fornication is very destructive. It's draining upon finances. Luke 15, verse 30, the parable of the prodigal son, spent all of his living upon harlots. He was drained financially. Notice Proverbs chapter 6, verse 26. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. It's draining upon finances. How many people are paying child support for children all over the United States? And they ought to pay child support. But it's draining upon their finances, and they want you to feel sorry for them. I've got it so rough. I've got to work three jobs just to make child support. Well, you should have thought of that before you committed adultery or fornication, whichever one it was. Now you're paying the price. So it's draining upon finances. Some will never get ahead financially because they, once again, they have so many children spread out. Both adultery and fornication is a dishonor upon one's person. Proverbs 6, verse 32, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. Brings dishonor upon one's person. It's polluting. It's ensnaring. Proverbs 23, verse 27. Again, Proverbs has a lot to say about this subject. For a whore is a deep ditch, and a strange woman is a narrow path. Now, ditches in those days, of course, were polluted places. So it's a deep ditch. It's polluting. See, also, it's like a narrow pit. It's constricting. It's ensnaring. And all again, once again, if we didn't have this knowledge in the Scripture, all we would have to do is look around and we could see that. But somehow, people are convinced that their situation will be different. Either that or they don't have a brain in their head. I mean, if someone does these things and knows I'm going to commit this act and I know it's going to ruin my life and I know it's going to break me, but I'm going to do it anyway, well, that's a fool. But most people don't think that way. They think their situation's different. And somehow it's going to work out for them. It hasn't anyone else, but somehow for them, it's going to be different, but it's not. It's going to end the same way. So it's degrading, or it's polluting and ensnaring. It is degrading, disgraceful, and shameful. That's why it should not be celebrated in any way. We realize that people can fall. We realize that. We realize that any one of us can. But fornication, adultery, should not be celebrated. People should not be congratulated. I will not congratulate someone for committing adultery or fornication. I know you don't go up to them and say congratulations for committing adultery and fornication. But they commit fornication and adultery. They become pregnant, and people go up to them and say, congratulations. You might as well just say, congratulations on your act of fornication and adultery. It's not something to be celebrated. Well, they'll hurt their feelings. Too bad. This isn't about feelings. It shouldn't be celebrated. It's disgraceful. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 8. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. It's degrading. It's disgraceful. It's shameful. Yes, it can be forgiven. I understand all of that. And praise God, it is. And people can serve the Lord. I understand all of that. But we're not to celebrate sin. It's shameful. It's also criminal and wicked behavior. Jeremiah 29, verse 23. Jeremiah 29, verse 23. Because they have committed villainy, that's crimes, in Israel, and have committed adultery with their neighbors' wives, and have spoken lying words in my name, which I have not commanded them, even I know and am a witness, saith the Lord. And then adultery and fornication, like all sin, impairs the mind. You ask someone who's in this cycle of sin, what in the world were you thinking? Their mind is impaired. Their mind is impaired by their lust. They don't think right. A right-thinking person would not commit adultery. A right-thinking person would not commit fornication. Hosea 4, verse 11. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. And may I say, the two go together many times. Drunkenness and whoredom. Alcohol, drugs take away the mind. And again, it's a path of destruction. So, this commandment, this sin, adultery and fornication, very destructive. It has, not by itself, but it is a contributing cause to the downfall of society. There are many causes, but it's certainly one of the contributing causes of the downfall of society, and certainly it is a contributing cause of the downfall of family. This commandment forbids anything outside of the bounds of marriage. Not only forbids the act, the expression of sex outside of marriage, it forbids anything which produces and arouses sexuality. Anything that produces or arouses sexuality is covered in the seventh commandment. And that's, we'll begin looking at some of those things next week. Let's look to the Lord. Word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we again thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the devotional. We thank you for just the privilege and opportunity you give us to be in your house. And we pray, Lord, that you'd help us today to realize what is before us. And Lord, that you would just help us to worship you. Forgive us, Lord, of our many, many, many sins. And we just pray that you would draw near to us this day. Cause us to draw near to you. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
guess I was rummaging around in the back of the book, and that's when I dug that one up. So, let's see. 361. All right. You got 30 seconds, so get it all out of your... Whatever you're thinking about, just get it out of your system right now. You got 30 seconds. 361 is the number. But you people who are here and you aren't trained yet, pay attention. If you'll lead us in prayer at this time, please.
Our dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for the opportunity to be able to gather in your house this morning, to be able to worship, honor, and praise your most precious name. We just pray for the Holy Spirit to abound this morning, dear God, to be any law, that today may be the day that when they come to accept you as their Savior and spend an eternity with you, dear God. We just pray for the message that you have for us. It's about Brother Gordon's freedom and words to speak to us. Open our hearts and our minds. Cause us to apply it into our lives, dear God. We just pray that you just keep our eyes focused upon you. Just keep our feet in that straight and narrow path, dear God. Just walk with us daily. Cause us to want to search out thy word and just seek thy face, dear God, for thy wisdom and knowledge. What we need more than anything else in this whole world. We just want to pray for the ones with cancer, dear God. We especially want to thank her rebound.
Yes.
And Hudson.
Yes.
The other ones that are sick among our number, dear God. We just pray to just meet their needs there. Give them the
this is something we should strive for. 388, that many fall away in the last days. They have been moved and continue to move away. 388. Jesus is my Savior, I shall not be moved. In His love and favor, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water, Lord, I shall not be moved. I shall. Thank you.
Amen. I want to remember Sister Reba in prayer. Talking to Mike this morning and made a statement that she's in a good place, and I've thought about that. That's true most of the time when the child of God is near home. They're in a better place than any of us are spiritually. But do pray for Renee and Gil and their family. Remember Brother Ron Hobson in prayer and his family. Do pray for Sister Stone. We saw her yesterday, had a good visit. Pray for her. She's just needs a lot of prayer. Remember Brother McGee in prayer as he struggles. Sister Mary, also her son-in-law Jim. Do remember the Cynics in prayer. Sister Jerry, pray for her. And Trevor, Ruth Ann's brother. Do be in much prayer for Debbie Santisteban. Very, very, very ill. Just pray for her, her family. Brother Hall,